We are going to pick up in our series this morning from the book of Ephesians. This is kind of a transitional point we come to today. We've been exploring the theme of unity over the last couple of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Paul, now in verse 7, pick up on the theme of diversity. Now, one of the things we mentioned last week is this idea of unity and diversity. They're very compatible. In fact, we even see this in the very nature of God, in the Trinity. God indeed is one, different persons of the Trinity. So within the body of Christ, there is to be unity as well as diversity. It's only when we come to unity and disunity that we have incompatibility. So Paul begins in verse 7, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led cast train and gave gifts to men." What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. Now, in these verses, Paul is drawing on the imagery of Psalms 68 to explain the ministry of Jesus. Jesus descended to the earth in his incarnation, also ascended into heaven after his resurrection as the triumphant king to now shower gifts upon his people. And the gifts that he showers upon his people are gifts of grace, spiritual gifts given to the church for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. We are in this passage, in this section, that nobody is left out in this gift-giving. All the believers in the church have received a gift of grace, a gift from our Savior, in order that each one of us may be involved and participate to serve and to minister within the body of Christ in different ways. There is unity in the body of Christ, but there's also great diversity as each one of us uses the different gifts that God has given to each one of us to serve and minister within the body. Each one of us should work indeed to maintain the unity that is the body, but each one also needs to exercise our own spirit gifts of grace, bringing about and serving the great diversity that is the body. This can be illustrated quite well with the following story. The animals had school. The curriculum consisted of running, climbing, flying, swimming. All of the animals were required to take all of the subjects. The duck, he was pretty good at swimming. Ferret, flying. But he had to drop his swimming class and stay after school in order practice his running. He kept this up until he was only average in swimming. But average be acceptable, and the others, including the teacher, were no longer threatened by the duck's swimming ability. So everyone felt a little more comfortable, except, of course, the duck. The eagle was considered a problem student. For instance, beat everybody else to the top of the tree. But he used his own method to get there. He had to be severely disciplined. Finally, because of non-cooperation in swimming, he was expelled for insubordination. The rabbit, his class in running, but was obviously inadequate in the other areas. Because of so much makeup work in swimming, he had a nervous breakdown and had to drop out of school. Of course, the turtle was a complete failure in almost every. His shell was considered by many to be the problem of his failure, so they had it removed. This helped a bit with the running, but sadly, he became the first stepped on him. What is the moral of this story? We're all different. God made us that way. We will not all have the same areas of giftedness and the same areas of ministry, but each one of us does do and must do what God has called us to do, and each one of us is to exercise that gift of grace, that spiritual gift that God has given to us, if Christ will indeed increase. We also need to honor and recognize the giftedness of each other and the contributions that each makes to the church. I was the one who asked Larry to bring that little Veterans Day, remember something he would be good at, and he did a fabulous job. We need to recognize and enjoy and celebrate one brings, as each one does his or her part in exercising the gifts and talents that God has given, our church will increase. What's the main point here? The ascended, all individuals, every single last one of us. Because he has ascended into heaven, is no longer physically present with us, he sends gifts. He sends the Holy Spirit, but he also sends gifts of grace, spiritual gifts to each of the members in order to sustain us. Now, verse 7 starts off with this very important little phrase, each that sets the tone and the pace for the entire passage, individually. Not just corporately, but individually, we have been given spiritual gifts by the ascended Lord, and now Christ is calling us to use those gifts to build up the body of Christ. Notice also, verse 7, the gifts of grace are according to the measure or the standard. This is the measuring cup of Christ. So we don't determine our own measures of grace. Instead, Christ has given to each one of us these gifts of grace, and then calls each one of us to put those into practice for others. All individuals have been given gifts of different measure, gifts of different application. However, all of these, the same purpose. A great parallel passage to this, Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. There Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministry, but the same Lord. These effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons of the Spirit for the common good. Now Paul goes on in this very passage and lists several of the gifts that have been given. There are other passages in Scripture which give similar as one of those lists. The interesting thing, when you compare the lists, they never repeat the same ones. They never are identical lists, which tells us that there are a variety of gifts, and that any list you would find is not an exhaustive list. But it is the God talents and gifts that we bring to the body of Christ. Going on, chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, contributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's a great passage to draw attention to a theme of there is unity, there is also diversity, and these two things are to represent what the body of Christ is. Paul in Ephesians 3 and 7, when he is describing his own giftedness, says this, of which I am made a minister according to of God's grace, which was given to me according to the power of, or the working of his power. So Christ indeed has given to all of us gifts. Paul addresses in Ephesians 4, describes the diversity of the church. And each of these aspects calls upon the individuals to do their parts. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what we must do to bring about the unity in the body. And there in verse 2, Paul says, humility and gentleness, patience and forbearing love, right? The diversity that is the body. Each of the believers is to exercise those unique gifts that God has given to him or to her to help build up The challenge for each one of us is simply this. What are we doing to help maintain the unity in our body? And what are we doing to celebrate that diversity? What are we doing? What are we bringing to the table in these respects? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16, the passage that Betty read for us today. It's a wonderful set of verses. Pastors love preaching on this. It can be seen as God's divine blueprint for the body. It's the biblical model of God's provision. When I was looking through my notes and files, kind of gathering my thoughts this morning, something came. 2005. That was the day that I was being called for this particular service to share with the congregation. I noticed this. I said, wow, I didn't plan this. But right in the sequence of what we have been doing, we're in the same occasion as this body will vote afterward on whether or not to share my vision, my thoughts on what is the pastor to do and what God's call as the church here in the city of Newark. Continuing, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be, you see, that God has given certain individuals as gifts to the church, certain of giftedness that Paul is talking about. Apostles and prophets, even teachers. It's pastors / teachers. One of the lists of qualifications. And so here we see Paul is describing the pastor and teacher, pastor / teacher. The pastor is one who is and the true shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13 brings this of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, a pastor, a children's worker. Any who would be a leader in the church is teachers. What do they teach? They teach the very word of God. I'm reminded of the story and experiencing great blessings, growing immensely. Administrative tasks became very organized. That their primary task, their primary responsibility ought to be that administrative task. In Acts chapter 6, twice in that passage, the apostle begins in verse 11. Command and teach these things, these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your way, both yourself and your hearers. God gives the pastor. The pastor is to be a shepherd, and he is also to be a teacher. The purpose of this particular ministry, this particular calling, Paul tells us there in verse 12. Pastors are to prepare God's people of the church, is to teach and to equip all the believers in order to that all the believers may use their different gifts in the way that God has intended for them to, so that all different members, the gifted members, everyone can work together to build up the body of Christ. Let's look on. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature Christ. What is the responsibility of the leader, of the pastor, to help and to equip the church? The first word here in verse 12 is a little preposition. Christ is giving to the church leaders so that the church may be built up. The equipping, the perfecting, the making complete of the Savior in verse number 12 is very, very important. In fact, if you think about it, just a quick comparison. I've got two passages up on the screen now. The King James Bible has commas in each of the particular clauses, punctuation marks. So keep in mind, when we see punctuation marks in the text, that's part of the interpretive process. There are no punctuation marks, but the King James, in translating these passages, has kind of... So let's look at them. It says here, actually, I can't see the screen well because I have to get my glasses on here. All right. For the perfecting of the saints, comma, for... So, That particular translation indicates that we have the pastor's task is to do these three things. Now let's take out the commas. Remove the commas and pastor's task. Well, this is the New Jerusalem Bible. To knit God's holy people up of the body of Christ. In other words, it's a chain. The pastor is to begin the process of equipping the saints so that the saints may be about the pastor and each member together may build up the body of Christ. Diakonos, the same word we get for the word deacon. So in other words, all the members of the body are to be deacons, to be members, or to minister. Back a few years, but years ago when Pastor Ralph was here, we had a sign right across that beam is a minister. That's indeed the case. And that sign was up there for quite a bit of time. And I like that sign because that's what's going on here. Every single member, one official pastor may have only a few official deacons. But the truth of the matter is all of us building up, edifying. Paul uses that idea 15 times in his writings. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, it says, "For then let us building up of one another." Now that idea is that each one of us is to build up. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm. Let all things be done for edification. What Paul is describing here is the worship service. As the body comes together, each one brings something to the service. So that together we things that we should be doing to bring about this edification. Encouraging one another. Correcting, instructing, helping one another, praying for what God has given to you to help build up the body of Christ. How long are we to do this? It says there in verse, looks like Jesus. At the beginning of verse 13, the very first word we have again, a preposition. Preposition until. In fact, the first couple of words is until we all. Literally, we all. Trish and I lived in the South for that was one word, but the idea is we all together, collectively. The same word is used, the same phrase is used back in verse 7 when it said each one of us is to work toward building up the body of Christ. We can't hide behind a corporate identity of the church. We can't hide behind the idea, well, someone will take care of that. We are someone. We all must engage in works of service until we all see here in this passage, in verse 13, until we all attain a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now again, in the original language, toward a unity as well as working toward the knowledge of the Son of God. Secondly, we need to work until we've attained to a mature man, a complete attain to the full measure, literally the measure of maturity into a mature age, adulthood, of the fullness, to continue to equip the saints until we all attain ministry. The task of the body is for each one of us to continue to use our spiritual gifts. The body of Christ is only fully built up, only reaches its full unity in the faith when all the believers become engaged and begin to exercise gifts in the area of ministry to which God has called them. And the goal of this whole process, Paul says, is the maturity of all the saints within the church. Why there? In verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and scheming. The first word there in verse 14, henna, as a result. I keep mentioning the first word, the first word. This is, again, a very important thing to keep in biblical writings. The writer often, almost always, puts the most important words, the transitional words, the key words up front to set the tone for the rest of the result of all this. With the result that the members are no longer to be spiritual children, to be infants, to be immature. according to verse 4, praising Christ, the infants, those who were tossed by the waves, those who frequently change what they think and believe, those who were carried about to the other, those who were caused to think one way and the other by whatever wind of doctrine seems to stem from the craftiness of men. Ephesus is a very important city in the heart of Paul. He had spent 3 years there during his third missionary journey. Very much had established a great church. But he knew that when he left, there would be those who would come. The passages we see in Acts chapter 20 is Paul's brief visit to Miletus to talk to the leaders of the church. And he tells them there very clearly, now that I'm gone, now that I'm false teachers, expect to have those that would challenge the things that I have said. There are false teachers in our own day. Who is it that will be swayed by who are immature in the faith? Those who have not been grounded in the knowledge of the pastor's task, or I don't think it's really the pastor's task, to point out to the congregation, well, there's a false teacher and there's false teachings. I think in seen in this very passage is the pastor needs to equip the saints so that we all exercise our spiritual gifts. You know what a pastor wants to hear? He wants to hear the members of the church come to him and say, hey, pastor, something's amiss with this idea or something's wrong with this teaching. That here, because it indicates that the pastor has been able to teach and to equip and to being mature and the body being able to recognize and be on guard against false teachers, false ideas. The pastor shouldn't have to train and instructs the congregation that they themselves can see it and they themselves is the pastor to equip the saints to teach the truth to the body so that the members of the church do not remain infants in the false doctrines and the false ideas that we inevitably encounter. Paul encourages all believers to exercise faithfully their gifts for the building up of the so that we all become mature in the truth. That in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From Christ, who is the head of the whole body, member of the church. This last phrase is key. As each part does its work. Each one of us has been given gifts. And each one must do his or her part in serving the body in the way that God has called. This very same phrase was used back in verse 7. Each one of us their part in bringing about the unity. As we close this morning, some questions of application. The first question is, what is my responsibility to the church? Now, this question is one that I would like every single one of us to ask. It's not just the pastor to ask. Consider, as we consider what it is that is that makes up the body. The preliminary questions that we need to consider, what are the giftedness that God has given to you? What is your role within the church? What is your calling? Personalize myself by saying, my task as an interim pastor will be to help make mature, to equip, to help the body become assess. Also drawing upon Acts chapter 6, I think that the apostles were quite clear when they said that their task was to devote themselves to prayer. I think all of us need to be upon our knees day in and day out for the things that God would do in our midst. We need to be devoted to the Word of God. How can I best fulfill these ministries? And again, it's an individual question that I hope each one of us would think through as we reflect on what is my responsibility, that responsibility that God has called upon for me in this body. Now again, personal scriptures, always giving time and attention to studying God's Word, so that I can share the meaning and the truth of God's words with the body. I owe myself indeed to the ministry of the word and to prayer. I also need to be very attentive to the needs within the body, the needs of the saints. And another question, how can I best help the pastor fulfill his responsibilities? It is a big calling to ministering the word, to prayer, to equipping the body. Any pastor who would do this well would need to do it with the prayers of his people. I also would suggest or ask of you, as you think of ways of helping me to fulfill my responsibilities in this area, is helping to keep me informed. They don't really know all the time. And sometimes folks in the didn't know this or didn't know that. And well, you tell them. Did you tell them a couple of times too? Actually, as a teacher in my class, I know I've got to tell my students a couple of times. So tell the pastor, keep me informed so that I am able to be attentive to those things. Pray for me, keep me informed, correct me when I need correction. I think we all need to be patient and humble and gentle with one another. But most importantly, join with me in the work of ministry. We all have been given exercise those gifts so that together as each member does his part, we all together attain to that maturity and the building up of the body of Christ. As we're considering this morning a call to interim pastor, I would join with me in exercising whatever spiritual gifts God has given to you so that together we become the body of Christ, the mature body of Christ that God has prayed. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for the fact that you indeed have gifted the church. You have gifted each member of the church. We all and each member functioning under the headship of Christ. And so, Father, I would just thank you for the giftedness that this body represents and I of this body. And I pray that any leadership that I would bring to this congregation would be a leadership of bringing us all to maturity in Christ, area of our giftedness, and as together, as a body of Christ, we indeed bring glory and honor to our one head and shepherd, Jesus Christ. Stand with me, if you would, as we sing our